The general was still eating in his personal car when the alarms went off. His intel chief and Mark Helton, with his arm in a sling, were in the compartment with him.
Now what? Hubertus, is it too much to ask for a man to be allowed to finish his breakfast in peace?
The intel chief stepped to the intercom and spoke briefly and quickly to the command center, then turned back to the general.
Sensors report smoke in the infirmary car and the barracks carriage behind it. There are also confused reports about an intruder driving a motorcycle onto the train. Those latter sound far-fetched to me. It's probably time to check the liquor stores and see if there's been another break-in.
I'll check on it, General.
That's my boy, Mark. Always good to go.
Right.
Helton slid open the door and stepped into the sheltered gangway between cars. As he let the door slide shut behind him, the door in front of him opened, and a man stepped into the gently rocking passage. He was a tall, wild, desperate figure. His face was lean and scarred beneath a half mask of blood and a black eye patch. His black shaggy hair reeked of smoke. A single eye blazed like a blue beacon from the relatively clean side of his face. He raised a strange-looking hand blaster to within an inch of the tip of Helton's nose and pulled the trigger.
Fire blast.
Even though the fire Ryan had said had cleared a lot of obstacles out of his way, it hadn't been an easy journey, and he'd taken it at a dead run. No time to count rounds. The young officer knocked away Ryan's empty Sig Sauer with his good forearm and rammed a sidekick straight into Ryan's sternum. The wanted man flew back into the door. The uniformed man bull-rushed him. Ryan brought up a knee. Panther quick, his assailant turned his hips and took the knee on the quadriceps. The impact still stopped him, lifted his body off the walkway, shifting beneath their boots. Ryan raised his right arm to shoulder height and slammed the elbow forward into the officer's face. As the man's head snapped back, Ryan followed with an overhand left. It was the officer's turn to reel back against a steel door. Ryan struck at his head with the butt of the Sig Sauer. His opponent blocked with his left forearm, tearing free of the sling. At the same time, he drove a right uppercut into Ryan's solar plexus. Air fled Ryan's body in a rush. He bent over and was headbutted in the face. Blinking at the sparks that seemed to float in his vision, Ryan staggered back. His adversary lunged at him, trying to jam his left forearm into Ryan's trachea. Ryan got his chin down in time and grabbed the arm. Pressing Ryan into the door behind him, the officer tried to punch him in the face with his right fist. Ryan caught his wrist with his left hand. For a moment, the men struggled in deadly silence. The officer was as tall as Ryan and had the same build. He was fresher than Ryan and years younger, which made up for some of the disadvantage of his injury, which clearly wasn't enough to render his left arm useless. However, the camo cloth at the front of his left shoulder began to darken with a spreading stain. Ryan quit trying to pull the arm away from his neck. He clamped his hand on the man's injured left shoulder and began to probe for a wound with a thumb like a steel talon. He found what he sought and dug in. The man's face paled and sweat began to stream from his hairline.
Bastard!
Bastard back! Where the fuck's Christy? Christy Roth?
The door opened behind Ryan. Hands grabbed him. Something cracked hard against the back of his skull. White flame stabbed through his brain. The world spun around him, but he didn't quite lose consciousness. The young officer backed into the next car ahead of them. At least two SecMen holding Ryan's arms behind him frog-marched him forward into what looked like a gaudy house parlor with a red carpet and dark-stained paneling on the walls. A man in uniform with a chest full of medals sat in a red plush-upholstered chair. Next to him stood a tall, thin, bloodless, and hairless specimen.
And you must be Ryan Carter.
And you're the nuke-sucky crazy who calls himself the General. Where's Christy?
The General rose.
Sadly, she's unable to be with us to witness the resolution of this little melodrama. Mark, you disappoint me. You told me you killed this man.
The captain looked up from examining Ryan Sig Sauer with the built-in suppressor. His expression was calm and slightly haughty. He wasn't a man to lower himself to making excuses. The general drew a model 1911 45 ACP hand blaster from a holster at his waist.
So, it looks as if I'm going to have to set things right myself.
He aimed the big blaster at the middle of Ryan's forehead. At last he saw her, his silver dream shining in the mountain sun. His yawl was shaking herself apart beneath him. Something had gotten loose and began to clatter, but hadn't made any perceptible difference in his headlong speed. His engine was starting to smoke. Somebody on the train noticed him as well. A heavy machine gun opened up from the last car.
Oh, shit!
There were tracer rounds mixed in with the regular loads. They threw red fireballs at him that looked to be the size of baseballs, seeming to float lazily toward him, then suddenly rushing by. The shots were going wide overhead. The gunner didn't seem to know quite what to do and was spraying the landscape instead of chopping the stream down into his target. Paul hunched lower in his lawn chair-style seat. He wasn't afraid for himself, not really. He was now as Christie had been on her quest, preoccupied with the dread he might not reach his objective. That was all that mattered.
Hold together, baby. Just a little while longer. That's all I'll ever ask of you again.
The general's arm swung away from Ryan. Captain Mark Helton's eyes widened, and he swayed. He looked down. There was a small, neat hole in the front of his camo blouse. He touched it with his fingers. The tips came away wet with red. He looked wonderingly at his commander.
But General...
Captain Helton helped your woman and your friends escape last night. I made some inquiries and discovered he'd been seen leaving his quarters not long before it had to take place. He'd already been showing signs of lacking the stomach for the real hard work we're about to begin.
Ryan had seen men shot or stabbed through the heart before, and not go down right away. Still, he had to admire the captain's determination to stay on his feet, even though it was a lost cause.
Mercy is weakness in the world we're forced to live in.
But the dream... The dream...
Helton dropped to his knees.
Weakness led, as it will, to betrayal. It hurts me to have to do this to you, Mark. But you can take this last thought with you. I would have done the same if you really were my son.
Oh.
The captain slumped down, buttocks on calves, chin on chest. By some chance he was balanced so well that his torso stayed upright, even without muscular tension to keep him that way.
We'll tell your father you died after heroic single combat, which is only the truth after all.
Hubertus sneered. He took a step forward, planted his boot in the center of the young captain's chest, and pushed him onto his back. Holstering his .45, his superior shook his head disapprovingly.
That was gratuitous, Hubertus. There was just no fucking call for that at all. And as for you, Carter, you'll do just fine as a replacement for your woman when it comes to telling us what we want to know about the Mattrans network. Even if I can't put you to the same use I was going to put her to, though I'm sure some of my soldiers could. They deserve a treat. I must admit, though, it is damn tempting to run you through the preliminaries just on general principles.
Magog 6, Command Center 1. We have a situation, sir.